All right, welcome, 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 everyone, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between. This is Tony's Political Ramblings, episode 13. I liked how that rhymed. Very happy with myself on that. But anyway, I wanted to get into a topic that's been floating around my head for the last few years, and that is colonialism 2.0. That's what I'm calling it. You could say colonialism part two, electric bugaloo, whatever you want to call it, that's fine. I just wanted to take a look at the newer waves of empire building, cultural soft power spreading of authoritarianism and empire building, really. And so obviously there's a lot of discussion about the first wave, I'm going to call it, which was the stuff from Western European countries like the UK, as it's known today, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Spain, Portugal, you get the picture. So there's a lot of discussion about what those countries had done for the last 400 or 500 years. And it's absolutely worth discussing. Like, there's no, you can't really overstate that influence. But something that seems to get lost in the shuffle, at least from my perspective, is the sort of colonialism and empire building and land seizing and cultural genocide and sometimes literal genocide that's going on right now. And this idea that's been floating around my head has been punctuated by what happened on Sunday over the airspace of Belarus. So I'm just going to read from Heather Cox Richardson. She's a professor of history, and she writes these updates on a day-to-day basis. So I'll just read the story, the very brief outline of the story from her. So she says, on Sunday, President Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus forced a commercial airliner operated by Ryanair, flying from Athens, Greece, to Vilnius, Lithuania, out of the sky as it passed through the airspace over Belarus. A MiG-29 fighter jet diverted the plane to Minsk, the capital of Belarus, after ground support warned its pilots falsely that there was a bomb on board. And so that's the story. But there wasn't a bomb on board. It was actually a journalist who opposes the present president, Alexander Lukashenko, and his name is Roman Protasevich. And so what makes this a big deal is that Lukashenko is the last real dictator in Europe. He's been president for the last roughly 30 years, and he's won elections by over 80%, and the most recent one being in 2020, which, despite the mass protests happening all over the country, he somehow won the election, I believe, by 80% is what the number was here. And so obviously, since all that's been happening, there's been a lot of crackdowns, people have been arrested, somewhere in the neighborhood of 25,000 people since in mid-November. And so what does this have to do with colonialism and empire building? And because you may think this, oh, well, this is just some random act of authoritarian violence. But it's not. It's not. It's a part of a larger context. Belarus was obviously Eastern Europe. It was a part of the Soviet Union until 1991, when it gained its independence. But when Lukashenko won the presidency in 1994, you have this sort of dependence on Russia forming in the meantime. Lukashenko's very friendly with Vladimir Putin. And while it's not an outright colonial seizure of Belarus, they have formed, though, a union state, as it is called, something akin to the European Union, except it's only two countries, Russia and Belarus. And so when you look at this context, in the context of an authoritarian leader in Belarus has been running unchallenged in Belarus, or not unchallenged, but has supposedly and very likely has cheated in several elections for the last 30 years with Russian support, who also is in a political system where their leader has set an indefinite political term of service. So, and again, he's sort of molding in, it's not quite an authoritarian system over there, but it is morphing into something akin to that, something more close to it on the spectrum. So you see that happening in Belarus, and you also have a lot of friction between Ukraine and Russia as well. Obviously, you have the seizure of Crimea in 2014 by Russia, who just outright took it from Ukraine. You have this in Belarus, where you have 9.5 million people, the majority of which don't want to be ruled by Lukashenko, but because, and there are obviously a number of reasons going on here, but in no small part, that is because of that Russian influence, that Russian financial backing, and that very close relationship to the leader for life, Vladimir Putin. So that's just, Russia's just one example of, as what I'm calling modern day imperialism. The other one would be the People's Republic of China. That would be, that one's a little more obvious. You don't really have to look much further than the Hong Kong protests of 2019. And the violent and brutal suppression of those people, and the erosion of the rule of law and freedom of speech that we're seeing over there right now. And we could also take a look at the ethnic minorities in most any other region of China, other than the ones that are dominated by, that are mostly populated by the Han Chinese majority. And you can see this in Inner Mongolia. You have people there who don't really want to be a part of the Chinese system, but they have to be because they were roped in. Same with Tibet. You have a Tibetan group whose political leader right now is residing in India, in the Dalai Lama. So you have that, and that's not even touching on the actual re-education and sterilization and genocide of the Uyghur Muslim population in Xinjiang province, which is in the northwest part of China. So my point to all of this is that while it is 100% worthwhile to study European colonialism in the 1850s and earlier and after that, I don't know why I just picked the 1850s arbitrarily, but it's obviously worthwhile studying European colonialism and its impacts on the world today. But we cannot turn a blind eye to the horrible injustices of similar magnitude, particularly in the case of the Uyghur Muslims in China, that are happening right now. And so it's on us as people to bring attention to this. And so that when the European Union imposes sanctions on Belarus for basically committing an act of piracy and diverting a plane to their capital under the false pretense that there was a bomb on board, you know, the U.S. should do the same. And when the Chinese government has created re-education camps for an ethnic minority and gives very little information out to the public, more should be done to stop it. So that way, in 200 years from now, when we're teaching the next that generation of children, we won't have to explain in such great detail all of the evils that are happening right now.